One of his consistent object lessons is to take a child, sometimes an infant, the word is, and put it in the middle of people and say, see this? This is what you need to be like in order to come into the kingdom. And that's a great reminder for us, because most of us, as we grow, we find our life getting more complicated. We find ourselves getting more invested in things we want and desire and working towards things. That might be a one-year goal, a five-year goal, a 10-year goal, a 25-year goal. When you're young, starting out, you might be thinking about college degrees, job, career, retirement, all of these things. And you end up not living today because you're always got your brain and your mind and your heart somewhere down the road. And that's one thing that most children do not do. Right? Most children, like, they're just right in the moment. And I think that we miss sometimes the opportunity to truly enjoy life because we're not aware enough in the moment. And that's a bit about what I think the Christmas message is for us today. Because the angels, and I pondered this a lot. I still read fantasy books for bedtime stories, and I like fantasy books because there's always, you know, some enigma or some sign. Not always, but very typically, right? You start with a prophecy or something, and you know, the first people you meet are gonna somehow be tied back to this prophecy, and so there's a drama, there's a purpose, there's a broader significance to the life, even if they're, you know, often these people start out on a farm somewhere. Not sure why, it's just one of the tropes. But you know something else is gonna happen. You know something's gonna happen, right? There's gonna be some event in their life that's gonna take them off the farm and into the wide world, and they're gonna save the kingdom and whatever, whatever. So I identify with this story because the angels show up to the shepherds and say, here's a sign. And the story really is, what does that sign represent? Because, I mean, let's face it, I don't know what a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger signifies. I mean, we've heard this story a lot. We don't think about it. It's just part of the story. But how is this a sign? I mean, really, a sign of what? That our children's presentation, their Sunday school presentation, they used a little play, and the one child says, yeah, well, so Jesus was a homeless guy? Well, actually, it was, you know, Joseph was a homeless guy because they're having a baby in a barn. That's, you know. Is that what the sign is? And maybe that's part of it. I mean, the great fact about God coming to earth is that he came in a way in which all of us could identify with. None of us can say, well, if I'd had that kind of opportunity or that kind of pedigree or that kind of, you know, silver spoon in my own mouth when I was born, well, then sure, I could. But no, Jesus didn't come with any of these benefits or privileges or prerogatives, even what we would assume is a necessity. A proper place in which to be born into. The hygiene was probably a little low in that kind of setting. So that is part of the sign, but I was thinking about what does this sign represent? I love Timothy Luke Johnson, who writes his commentary on Luke, is a narrative commentary. He says, if Luke is telling us a story, how would we understand this from a storyteller's perspective? And he says, the next time we hear about Jesus being wrapped in cloths and laid somewhere is the tomb. And Luke, as a great storyteller, is going, you know, there's some foreshadowing here. This is the sign, a baby wrapped in cloths and laid, and then this is an echo that we hear as we get to the end of the story. And in the ancient world, you would have heard the story in one telling. It's not like we do today and chop it up in bits and pieces and maybe never hear the whole story, really, and not consecutively, you know. So that may have happened to the original audience. They would have been, wait a minute, that's clever. Thank you for that. But what is this sign? What does it signify? How's this importance? And maybe, I think where I usually go is, well, this is how they were supposed to recognize the baby, because there might have been other babies. And so when you find the one in a manger, you know you've got the right one. And there's probably some of that too. But I don't think that does justice to the sign, right? The sign. So it seems to me that the sign is about hope. And it seems to me that hope is a word we need today. We need to hear about the word hope. And it's typical in a time of winter, and especially when we're getting a storm of a storm of the decade or generation or whatever they're classifying this current that's further east mostly, but we lived through it first before it got out east. You know, it's been a cold December. We've got a lot of snow. I've been shoveling almost every day for the last 2 weeks. So we need hope, and it's easy to remember spring, although it's hard to really believe in it, I suppose, in the middle of a minus 27, it's no longer minus 30, but this isn't the, I think this sort of hope doesn't begin to touch the real need and the real longing in our hearts and lives. And this is what a baby represents. When you hold a baby, it's just raw potential. Now, there's some limitations depending on genetics, et cetera, et cetera. But a baby is a blank slate, more or less. It's not been written yet what he or she will become, what will happen. And that calls from us, if we're involved in the child's life as parents, grandparents, friends, family members, whatever, that calls from us a certain response and openness to steward, to safeguard, and to appropriately manage this precious gift of sheer potential. Right? I mean, I think that's part of what we do. We call it loving them. I love you. I love you. So, of course, I'm going to give things to you. I'm going to spend my money on you instead of my money on me. And that's just things that parents do to provide all opportunities and context for the child. But they do that because of the hope they have and the belief, of course. We know what it's like to live with the opposite of hope, which is to live in despair, to have given up already, to have short-circuited the process. And occasionally, I suppose that can happen in a parent and a child relationship. You can just sort of shut down. You can kind of quit believing anything could be different or possible. It certainly happens in other relationships, and it certainly happens in our life. And I think that's the main difference between a child and an adult. Adults have learned not to be silly and expect good things. Really, I mean, quite honestly. If you earn it and you pay for it, sure. But just for life to be good, gratuitously, to just kind of like drop cherries in your lap, don't be silly. I mean, come on. You're an adult now. You got to be a big boy and a big girl. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we let life steal hope from us. Now, of course, one of the reasons we do that is because there's two kind of things that masquerade as hope. One is wishful thinking. As in, well, I didn't prepare at all for the exam, but I hope I do okay. Eh? Okay, yeah. On what basis are you hoping? Well, no basis at all. You just would prefer that outcome. But that's not really hope. That's wishful thinking. And the other is delusional, being delusional. And that is saying, though I've, you know, we could stick with the exam model, though I've failed every exam up to this point in time, I'm really a much better student than that. Those exams don't really, you know, they don't really accurately reflect what I know. I know way more than what the teacher thinks I know. Okay, that's not hope either. I mean, that's just delusional. So we know wishful thinking, it disappears. We don't spend a lot of time fretting, like, I knew I wasn't going to do good on the exam, but I hoped I would do well. But I didn't do well, oh well, and away I go. So wishful thinking disappears. Hope has a staying power. Hope has a tenacity. Hope has a grip and a hold, a determination and a steadfastness about it. But it has to be based in reality. Otherwise, that same steadfastness can just be delusional thinking, right? Ignoring the facts. And that's a very tricky place to inhabit, I think. Personally, I find that difficult to sort of manage my life and not kind of get into delusional thinking or just plain fantasy wishful thinking. To be tenacious and yet not erroneous and perpetuating my own errors. And so what we need is a baby to remind us of hope. To remind us that the script we lived yesterday and today does not determine our script tomorrow. That God has come among us. And that means everything is possibly different. The things that God chooses, that is. You getting rich, famous, popular, probably not what God came to do. But you learning to live with more love and dignity and to let go of those things that hinder you and cripple you, that trip you up. To release those and to receive again the dignity of being loved and the dignity of having your sins set aside so that you might live tomorrow differently. Those are the things that God desires to give you. So, anyhow, you can think with me on this sign thing. If you might get an insight that I don't have as of yet. Is the baby a sign? What kind of sign is a baby? As we celebrate the truth, the fact that God entered time and space, became one of us in order to set us free. That is our Christmas celebration. Amen.